The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the Giants season got even more pathetic on Monday night. I mean, I didn't think it could get more pathetic for them. I actually thought they were going to kind of put up a fight in this game. But this game was so bad from the Giants that something that even multiple veteran players who have played in the game for years, who have watched the game for years, two of those names being Peyton Manning and Troy Aikman, two Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning quarterbacks who have been around the game their entire lives, never have seen a kicker go for a field goal and kick the ground instead of the ball. And that is how bad the Giants game was on Monday night, that their field goal kicker could not even kick the ball. He literally kicked the ground, and it was one of the most hilarious New York Giants things that could happen. And the New England Patriots got to win 35-15. Drake May had basically a flawless game, went 24 for 31, 282 yards and two touchdowns. But, I mean, even though the Patriots smashed their ass and it was just all Patriots all night, the Giants' follies, they just kept building. It was just such a terrible – they're just such a terrible team. That's just really all there is to it, and it was just a hilarious game, especially that kick, that attempted kick. That was just so funny to see a dude literally kick the ground. And that is the New York Giants season in a nutshell, people. So let's move on to the top 10 NFL power rankings for this week. Not a lot of changes, a couple of movements here and there. But number one actually remains the same for me, even though they're coming off of a loss, and that's the Los Angeles Rams. They're 9-3 on the season, but that's their first loss in a long time. They've been playing great football, and at times you are going to lose weird games, and that's just kind of their thing. But, I mean, that's only their third loss on the season, and they're still in it. And, I mean, really, if I'm looking at them compared to the rest of the league, they're a team that I trust way more to actually win the Super Bowl than a lot of these remaining teams. And that's one of the main reasons why I've kept them up there. I mean, Matthew Stafford, of course, still having an MVP year just through his first couple of interceptions in a couple of months in this last game against the Carolina Panthers. So it's just a down game. I mean, there's a couple of teams on this list that actually suffered losses as well and are still here. It's just, that's going to happen to you in your season. And I kind of feel like the Rams are going to bounce back from that loss and just take it on the chin and keep it moving. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Denver Broncos. Overall record of 10-2. They are on a 9-game winning streak, and it is still all about this defense. The defense kept them in the last game. It actually won them, as a matter of the game in the last game. I mean, Nick Bonito batting down the ball on 2-point conversion, that is literally what won this game. So that's just the Denver defense in a nutshell. They are winning them every single game, keeping them in every single game. It's just the offense. I continue to say very loosey-goosey, and I feel like at some point it's going to cost them, and it's probably going to cost them in the playoffs. But even so, this defense is amazing, and they're on a 9-game winning streak, and they look pretty good. But the reason why I put the Rams above them is because, like I said, I trust the Rams way more than I trust the Broncos at this point, because the Rams have a bunch of veteran guys who have already been here before, who have already won before, and Denver, to me, is just, they're getting a lot of lucky wins, and you're going to need those along the way, but I just kind of feel like at some point they're going to run into a wall. Hasn't happened yet, but at some point I think it's going to happen. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the New England Patriots. Overall record of 11-2, and they are on a 10-game winning streak. And it's kind of the same thing with them, too. I don't really trust them just yet. I think there's going to be some growing pains along the way, even though they are playing very well on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. But if you take a look at the receiving core, Drake May hasn't really keyed in on a number one receiver, and that's going to be an issue once you hit the playoffs, because usually your superstar guys are who show out in the playoffs, and if you don't have any superstar guys, it's going to be all on you, and I wouldn't be shocked if that becomes a problem at some point down the line. But right now, the New England Patriots are playing great team ball. But like I said, I trust the Rams more than I trust the Patriots, and that's why I put the Rams above both of those teams, even though they're both on 9 and 10 game winning streaks. It's just I don't really trust them just yet, and I kind of feel like if the Rams were to face either of them in the Super Bowl, the Rams would win. Then at number 4 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Chicago Bears, overall record of 9-3. And just the thing about this team is I see them continue to grow each and every game. Their offense is getting better. Caleb Williams seems to be growing more and more confident in each and every game. And then the defense is just really damn good. They're causing some turnovers. They're making the big plays when they have to, the key plays when they have to. And the Chicago Bears, they're also a team that's on a really solid winning streak right now. But once again, with this team, they just don't have a lot of experience. Plus, on the offensive side of the ball, it's pretty much Caleb Williams. And the ground attack is starting to get going, but he doesn't really have any go-to guys in the receiving corps that are going to bail him out when it comes down to it. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 8-4. And they did get a big win this week, but I'm still seeing the same thing that I've seen with them for this season. And that's just their receivers are so inconsistent. They're dropping really easy passes. And this is another team that does not have a superstar wideout. And I mean, they rely too much on tight ends. I mean, it's great to have good tight ends, but I mean, you need a really solid deep threat receiver, and they don't really have that. And when it comes down to it, when it turns into a game where it's all on Allen, those are the bad games that they have. And even though they got this win over the Steelers, it wasn't a pretty win either. I feel like if the Steelers had just shown up for that game, it might have gone a different way or might have been a much closer game. But even so, I think that's going to be a problem for the Bills at some point. But right now, they're riding the Josh Allen train, and he just continues to carry them. Then at number 6 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Seattle Seahawks. Overall record of 9-3, and this is another team that is just completely led by defense. This defense scores touchdowns. This defense causes turnovers. This defense keeps their offense in every single game. And even this last game, the opposing team did not even score a point. And the defense actually scored a good chunk of those points in this last game. So the defense is really getting it done. And then on the offensive side of the ball, you have JSN having a fantastic year. And Sam Darnold, he's also having a good year as well. It's just the games he's down, those are usually the games that they lose. But even so, they're having a really good year, and this defense is just suffocating. It's probably the best word to use to describe the Seattle Seahawks defense. I mean, that front 7 is just getting at every single quarterback and really making it difficult. If you do not get that pass out quick, you are more than likely going to be on your back or throwing in a pick 6. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Green Bay Packers, overall record of 8-3-1. This is another team, good quarterback. Jordan Love is having an MVP year, but I just feel like he doesn't have any consistent receivers, and he doesn't have a superstar wideout, and then his main tight end, he's been gone for about a month now. So I just kind of feel like the Packers' offense is on shaky ground, whereas their defense is getting better with each and every game. But even so, Jordan Love, he's been keeping this team above water, and really just he's been distributing the ball and just having a fantastic year. I mean, very mistake-free football, and he's definitely not the reason why they lose those 3 games this season. He's really just why they stay in it, and he's having a great year. But I just kind of feel like at some point those inconsistencies at the receiver position are going to cost them along the way here. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Overall record of 7-5. And this team's getting their injured guys back. They're starting to get healthy every single week, and this is the time of year that they need to get healthy. And oddly enough, the Carolina Panthers are kind of nipping at their butt right now. So they need to keep winning, and they need to get those guys back because they really don't want to lose the division. I mean, I don't expect the Panthers to take over the division, but they're right there. They are right behind Tampa, and if Tampa just keeps on losing, and if Carolina just gets a couple more wins along the way and just stays in it, if Tampa takes a tumble, Carolina is right there to take that lead. So they're definitely going to need to keep winning, and they're definitely going to need to get as many of these guys back as they can. And they've started to get them back, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But the defense, there's no issues on the defensive side of the ball at this point in time for the Buccaneers. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, a team that is just tumbling, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles. Overall record of 8-4, and it just kind of feels like at this point is the drama catching up to them. It kind of feels like 2 years ago. You know, last year they had drama, but they were able to overcome it. You know, Saquon had that amazing 2,000-yard season, which I think really covered up a lot of the issues that they were having on the offensive side of the ball that are showing this year. But 2 years ago, if you remember, the Eagles came right out the gate. I believe they won something like 10 games in a row. Like they were like 10-0 to start the season. And then they lost every single game after that. And they barely made the playoffs, and then they just got their asses handed to them in the playoffs. And so is that going to be the same result with the Eagles this year? Because they, you know, started off the season hot, but these last couple of games, and even in the games they've won, there's a lot of questionable things where you look at them like, are you even in sync in the passing game? I mean, there's a few times where I've seen Jalen Hurts, and it just kind of feels like him and his receivers are just not on the same page. The ground attack is not what it used to be. It's really all about the defense on this team as well. And the defense is not having any issues, but the offense is. And so I'm just kind of wondering, is the drama catching up with the Eagles? Hopefully it is, because the Cowboys are also right on their ass for that division. So if they just keep on losing and the Cowboys keep on winning, maybe we could sneak in and win that division. But for right now, the Eagles still have a grip on the division. And but I'm just looking at it, and it's a lot of the drama is surrounding their quarterback. And that's the captain of your team. That's the leader of your team. And if he and both of his receivers, if his two top dog receivers are having issues with him, then that's not going to be a good thing. And I'm just kind of wondering if this is going to be a repeat of 2 years ago from the Philadelphia Eagles, where they just keep sliding and keep sliding, and then maybe not make the playoffs, but we'll see, because they're still 8-4, and until they really start losing bad, you really can't count them out, because they're still a really talented team. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings, another team that is starting to slide, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. They're 8-4 on the season, and it's just looking like in these last two games, are they for real? Because they haven't really been able to overcome the big moments. And, you know, people have contained Jonathan Taylor these last two games. And so I just really wonder if this Colts team is for real. This is another team as well that's got to worry about the rest of the division, because the Jaguars are now right up there, and the Houston Texans are now starting to make a run, and the Texans just beat them. And so it's just kind of like, if you're the Colts, you really don't want to start losing your grip. And they are now, it kind of looks like they're starting to lose their grip. But even so, they're still 8-4, still playing really solid football. I expect them to bounce back. But these last couple of games have me questioning if they are for real. And since we're talking about playoffs, because we only have a month left until the playoffs begin, let's just start talking about the playoff pictures on every Wednesday show. We're going to recap the playoff picture, see where we're at, because I just kind of feel like every week at this point, it's going to get shaken up. We're going to have different teams in different spots, or different teams not in there, different teams that are in there. And I'm just looking at this like, I feel like there's going to be some of these matchups that literally come down to the last week of the season. So let's get right into the AFC. The number one overall seed right now would be the New England Patriots. Number two, the Denver Broncos. Number three, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And number four, the Baltimore Ravens. So those are all the division leaders. And then the wild card spots right now go to number five, the Los Angeles Chargers. Number six, the Indianapolis Colts. And number seven, the Buffalo Bills, which is very shocking to see the Buffalo Bills are the number seven seed right now. But even more shocking is one of the teams who are on the outside looking in at the playoff picture, and one of them is the Kansas City Chiefs, along with the Houston Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are the three teams kind of lingering right there. There's a couple other teams lingering as well, but I just kind of feel like the top three that are lingering are going to be the teams we talk about the most, and maybe kind of switcheroo a little bit here. But it's looking like New England probably has a lock on the division. It's looking like Denver definitely has a lock on their division. That AFC South with Jacksonville on top right now, that's probably going to be changing weekly. Baltimore on top right now, that's probably going to be changing weekly, because neither Baltimore or Pittsburgh are playing consistent football at all right now. Either one of those teams can get beat. And then, you know, like I said, the wild card spots, they're very shuffled. You got the Chargers right there with Justin Herbert, who's injured, so is that going to be an issue? Indianapolis Colts and Buffalo, they've been riding high for the majority of the season, but there they are, just barely hanging on to those last couple of spots. And then the NFC, we have right now the number one overall seed would be the Chicago Bears. Number two, the Los Angeles Rams. Number three, the Philadelphia Eagles. And number four, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are all the division leaders. And then the wild card spots right now, number five, the Seattle Seahawks. Number six, the Green Bay Packers. And number seven, the San Francisco 49ers. With the Detroit Lions, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Carolina Panthers are the on the outside looking in right now. But the NFC is just the same as the AFC because, yeah, Chicago's the division leader right now, but they've got Green Bay and Detroit right there on their ass. Then you've got the Rams leading right now, who have mostly a battle with Seattle, but still San Francisco's theirs lingering, they're lingering as well. Then the Eagles, yes, they've got a pretty solid lead right now, but like I said, they keep losing, Dallas keeps winning, things could change there. And then with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like I said, Carolina's right there on their ass, but I expect Tampa to hold on to it because they are the better team, but Carolina is very scrappy and playing some really good football right now. So don't be shocked if they make a move, not only for the division, but at least for one of those wild card spots. So anything can happen in both the AFC and NFC. But like I said, I feel like every Wednesday leading up into the playoffs, I'm going to be that list is going to be different every single day. I feel like the number one seed's going to change every single week. I feel like the division leaders that are like within a game and a half or a game of each other, those are going to be changing a lot. And like I said, I think it's going to be a battle until literally the last week of the regular season. And then come playoff time, I feel like this is going to be one of the best playoff performances we see from a lot of teams, just because there's so much parity in the league this year that it's like, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you who is going to win the Super Bowl right now. Cause like I said, I've got the Rams at number one, but I mean, they could get beat. They just got beat by the Carolina Panthers. So, but you know, just anything can happen. And I just kind of feel like the next couple of months of football here leading up to the Super Bowl are just going to be phenomenal. And I am here for it. So let's move on to week 14 and the Thursday night football matchup, which is a headbanger. It definitely has playoff implications for both teams. And that's going to be my Dallas Cowboys at the Detroit Lions. Right now, the Lions are a 3.5-point favorite. And as I said, both of these teams are on the outside looking in, so they have to get this win. If they lose, obviously it doesn't knock them out of position, especially because both of them are still in line for their divisions as well. But since they're on the outside looking in, you need every single win you can get at this point in the year. And so I feel like this is going to be a bitter battle tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it as an offensive type of shootout tomorrow between Dak Prescott and Jared Goff. I just feel like that's what it's going to be tomorrow. I feel like it's going to be score, 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 score all the way until whoever has the ball at the bitter end, that's who I think is going to win it all. And of course, I've got my Dallas Cowboys winning it. I just feel like they're playing great defensively right now. And Detroit, they haven't really looked like the Detroit Lions. On the offensive side of the ball, they look great. They're playing pretty solid defensively. It's just that secondary is getting blown up, and you've got CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens coming to town. So take your Pickens in both of those receivers. And then you also have Ferguson and Williams as well. And Dax just surgically tearing up every single defense he faces this year. So I just kind of feel like it's going to be a good night for Dak. But like I said, on the opposite side of things, I feel like it's going to be the same thing for Detroit. I feel like they're going to be scoring, and it's going to be a battle. But I think the Cowboys defense is going to step it up. And maybe cause a turnover that ends up being kind of like the deciding, maybe either game-winning turnover or stopping them on like a fourth down type of thing on the last drive of the game. That's just kind of what I see from this one. And I've got my Cowboys winning a close one, 35-31. And now let's move on to the college football playoff, which is this is more than likely it, at least as far as the teams that are in the top 10. I don't really feel like any of these 10 are going to fall out. It looks like a good chunk of them aren't even going to be playing because, you know, that this next week is only going to be conference championships. There's only going to be a couple losses. And even the losses, they're losing to a good team. So it's not like they're going to completely fall out of the top 10. So I just kind of feel like these are going to be the teams that we see in the college football playoff. But we still technically have this weekend to really shape it up. So number one still remains Ohio State. They are 12-0 on the season. They just beat Michigan. Not a very good Michigan team, but they beat Michigan. They needed to beat Michigan. This week they have a headbanger once again because they're going up against number two, who is Indiana. They're 12-0 on the season, and they're going to be playing for their championship game. And I feel like they're also going to be playing for number one. But like I said, to me, it doesn't matter who loses this game. I feel like Whoever wins is basically playing for the number one overall seed, and whoever loses is definitely not falling out of the college football playoff, especially Indiana. But I don't see either one of these teams falling out, so I expect to see them in the college football playoff, especially because they're both the only undefeated teams as well. Then at number three, we have Georgia at 11-1, and they will also be playing in the SEC championship game this weekend against Alabama. So if they lose and Alabama wins, because I haven't got to where Alabama's ranked yet, it's definitely going to boost Alabama. But Georgia, I still kind of feel like they're going to be in the top 10 regardless of what happens to them. Then at number four, we have Texas Tech, who's just come right out the gate and having a phenomenal year. They're 11-1 on the season, and they're going to be playing their bowl game this weekend against BYU, number 11 BYU. So if they lose, they could potentially be knocked out. And if that's the case, maybe they would be knocked out and BYU would bump up into the top 10. Because BYU is having a phenomenal year. And like I said, I mean, they're ranked 11. So obviously they're just right outside there. So it'd be a big win for BYU. Obviously big win for both of them. But you got to wonder if Texas Tech might be the one that would kind of get knocked out after this weekend. Number five is Oregon. They are 11-1 on the season, and they won't be playing this weekend. Number six is Ole Miss, 11-1 on the season, and lost their coach. So it's going to be interesting to see how the college football playoff goes for them, because they had a phenomenal year, but they lost their coach. He went to LSU, and they're pretty pissed off about it. I mean, as they should be, but I mean, that's just the way it goes. That's just how you could see the writing on the wall, really, basically all season, especially after LSU shit canned their coach. They were looking for somebody, and Lane Kiffin's been having a great coaching time at Ole Miss just in general, but we'll see what happens with them in the playoff, just because they're pretty pissed off. But at the same time, it's still the same team, so they might come out and get a win, but they're pretty pissed off right now. Then number seven, the team that took the biggest tumble, and it put a big smile on my face, because it's Texas A&M. And why did Texas A&M take a big tumble? Because they're now 11-1 on the season. Who did they lose to? Oh, that's right. They got their asses beat by my Texas Longhorns this past weekend, which was just not only shocking, but hilarious at the same time. So, you know, thank you, A&M, for putting on basically your worst game of the season against the Longhorns. And so I was pretty excited to see that, especially because, like I kept saying, I felt like A&M was a number one overall team for the majority of the year. So not only did we beat the beat a rivalry team, but we also beat a really damn good team. Even though I say the Longhorns kicked their ass, it was mostly a second half ass kicking, because it went in 10-6 at halftime. But real talk, man, that was it. That was a great game to watch, and a great way to end the season for my Longhorns, because they definitely won't be making the college football playoff. But at least we got to take out Oklahoma and Texas A&M this year, who are both in line for the college football playoff. But whatever, we beat them. So hook 'em horns, motherfucker, hook 'em horns, hook 'em horns. Then at number eight, we have stupid-ass Oklahoma. They're 10-2 on the season. Then at number nine, we have Alabama. And like I said, they're going to be facing off against Georgia this week. And if they get the win, it's definitely going to boost them up. But if they lose, then I feel like Alabama is going to be knocked out. But who knows? Who knows? We'll see, just because a lot of these teams are kind of on the bubble. But then I guess you just kind of look at it, and if Alabama suffers this loss, it'll be their third loss on the season. So I kind of feel like that's going to knock them out of it. But if they get the win, that's definitely going to be a huge boost for them. And by the way, I think they are going to get the win, as a matter of fact. Just the way Alabama's been playing this year, I just kind of feel like it's going to be a battle between them and Georgia, and I've got Alabama winning that one. And then rounding out the college football playoff at the number 10 position is Notre Dame. I feel like they're going to lock it down unless Alabama happens to lose. Then they might boost up a bit. If Texas Tech happens to lose, they might boost up a bit, but they're right there at number 10. So that's how the college football playoff looks this week. Like I said, I kind of feel like that's what it's going to be once we start talking about the college football playoff when it's all set. I think that's how it's going to end up. Just because, you know, I feel like there might be two teams that fall out. But other than that, I feel like this is it. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.